Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts, and we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of your holy temple. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God. Father, we have assembled ourselves together here this morning for a purpose of meeting with you. We are now in your temple, in your house. Not these four walls of sheetrock and wood, but the real house, the real temple, not made with man's hands. Speak to us, Father. We've assembled around your throne that we may hear you and that we may praise you. Fill us with your Spirit. May the Comforter, the first Comforter sent to us, equip us to worship you. And may Christ be glorified. And may we be sanctified. We ask these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we will read verses 4 through 8. Let's hear God's inerrant word. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word to the word. The wall of God on the inside front cover of your hymnals, the Ten Commandments, which we shall read responsively. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
You shall have no other gods before me.
You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am
but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless if he takes his name in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
6 days you shall labor and do all your work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
You shall not murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
You shall not covet
your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let's turn to the Bible then. Book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verses 14 through 19. Isaiah 28:14, let us hear God's inerrant word. Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. May God bless the reading of His Word. Father and our God, we give You thanks for this day. Thanks for the opportunities we've already had to hear Your Word, to hear You speak to us. We desire, Father, in the depths of our beings, we desire to be like You. You have created that desire within us. Much of our unhappiness, much of our frustrations, much of our lack of joy comes from not working to achieve that desire. And though we know that it takes the work of Your Spirit to sanctify us, we also know that we are to put to death the old man and we are to feed the new man. We are to use the means of grace, and all too often we not only don't use the means of grace, which would feed our new man, our new person, our new nature, but instead we feed the old. We choke the new and feed the old. We do the opposite of what we're supposed to do, of what we need to do to really be happy, to really have joy. Forgive us for this sin. Speak to us this day. Ever make us new, Father. Renew within us our repentance and our faith, our commitment to Christ. Renew within us that love that we had for You at the beginning. To glorify the One who bought us with His precious blood. We pray these things of You in His name. Amen. This is a really cool section. I've just been looking forward to this for so long. And not because of this, but I last week made an investment. I bought two new DVDs from Amazon, Zulu Rudy and Zulu. Janice rolling her eyes already. Mike, I put this on Facebook, and Adina said, oh, poor Danae will have to watch this. And I said, well, if I come to Japan, I can bring it. And Ben said something about, I'm sure there'll be problems with their DVD player while you're there. Matt talked about some kind of exchange program in Japan. That terrible, terrible thing to do. Those are great movies. This text is quoted in that movie. There was a preacher there, and he says to them, you have made a covenant with death, and with hell you are, or Hades you are in agreement. I can't remember the exact quote now. There it is found in verse 15, and then it is found again, to some degree, in verse 18. What's the problem? What's going on here? Well, we need to back up to verse 14, which starts with a therefore. This whole section is kind of a conclusion to the section we looked at last week, which refers to God speaking to this people with stammering lips and with another tongue. Because these people will not repent, therefore hear the word of Yahweh. I want to just stop us all for a moment here. Do you understand the significance of that? To hear the word of Yahweh. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. It is by His word that the universe came into being. It is by His word that the universe was structured. It is by His word that all life came into being. And He breathed out, which is what you do when you speak, and man became a living soul. His power is in His word. And that is no less true today. It is the word of God that brought you and me into the kingdom of God. But here, it's not a blessing. It's cursing. Hear the word of Yahweh, you scornful men. Those who, remember, the line upon line, precept upon precept, all that stuff that they were complaining about. Oh, you know, you're just teaching us this baby stuff and you're doing it over and over again. Why don't you grow up, Isaiah? Why don't you leave us alone? They're nothing but scornful men. Willfully ignorant. Willfully scornful. And you should weep at this last line of that verse, because these scornful men rule this people in Jerusalem. Not in Samaria, not in Damascus, not in Asher, not in Babylon, but in Jerusalem, where the temple of God is, where the house of God on earth is, where the Ark of the Covenant is located. These scornful men rule. And these scornful men have said, now, Isaiah is not quoting them. What he's really doing is saying, here's what you've really said. They've not, in their own minds, made a covenant with death and a treaty with hell. But that's what they've really done. They thought they made a treaty with the Assyrians. They thought they've made agreements with the Egyptians. They've made all these wheeling and dealing with men around them to protect themselves, to take care of themselves. But they don't understand that what they've really done is put themselves in league with Satan. Because you've said we've made a covenant with death and with Sheol we are in agreement, when the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. He's deliberately mixing metaphors here. And it comes even worse later on. Scourge is a whip. Whips don't overflow you. But if you've ever cracked one, you know that a wave passes through it. This scourge, this whip, is also a flood. And later on, it's also an army. It's deliberately mixing metaphors. We're going to burn our ships after we cross that bridge. Yeah, kind of silliness. Highland did that in one of his novels, if you remember, Alan. We've done this because it's not going to happen to us. It will not come to us. We have made lies our refuge. They've lied to themselves. Under falsehood, we've hidden ourselves. We're stark naked, but no one can see. It's like the... I've got antlers on the top of one of our bookshelves. I saw this deer. He was about from here to the doorway into the other room. And he was looking right at me. So I closed my eyes. If I can't see him, he can't see me. And then I realized, that's really stupid. Actually, it's not totally stupid because they could see my eyes maybe, but it wasn't the brightest thing I've ever thought. And that's exactly what these people are doing. I'm just going to stand on the street corners of Lincoln, Nebraska, stark naked, as long as I can't see, you can't see. Now, that's really dumb. It won't be long before the paddy wagon or the little white men in their little white coats come for you. That's exactly what's happened here. They've lied. They have really made a deal with the devil when what they think they've done is protected themselves. Now, we're going to skip the next section for now and come to the third and final section. We'll actually pick up in the middle of verse 17. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overflow the hiding place. Remember the scourge that overflows? Well, here's the water aspect of it. It's like a flood coming in. There'll be we're supposed to be blessed with thunderstorms tonight. That sounds like fun, since I don't have any wheat that can be hurt. We're supposed to have, I believe somebody's talked about chasing tornadoes, maybe. Don't catch them. Here comes the hail. Here comes the flood. And the hail will sweep away the lies. And the waters will overflow the hiding place. They see themselves as being above the floods. They see themselves as being safe as the problems go around them. They've made a deal with the plaque. It won't flood on my yard. Everybody else's. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with Sheol will not stand. There's a suggestion that it's actually going to be wiped clean or washed clean. I like to use fountain pens. They feel better, they write better, they look better, except when you knock a glass of water over on your paper and the ink just washes everywhere. That's sort of the thing. Your covenant's been written out in a fountain pen, and this flood's going to come and it's going to wash it clean. Wash all those words away, and there's no deal anymore. There's no covenant any longer. The overflowing scourge. Here's that mixed metaphor again. Now it's the whip, that's the flood. It will pass through, and here's the army. You'll be trampled down by it. In a sense, it doesn't matter whether this is the deal that they made with the Assyrians under Ahaz, or deals that they tried to make with the Babylonians later in that same century. The army comes as a flood, and the army is a whip. And though they are pagan people, cruel, wicked people, the hand that controls this whip is Yahweh. And they think they've made a deal with the devil, and not knowing that the devil still does what God tells him to do. This army will trample you, crush you, flood over you, and scourge you. And then it makes it really neat. This army goes into encampment. When the Roman armies marched, every afternoon they would stop and build a fortification. In fact, I think our word castle comes from the Latin word that they use, something about casement or something to that effect. I can't remember. I don't know Latin. But they would build a fortified camp so they could sleep in safety. And they would lay out streets and they'd set up their tents or however their shelters. And they did that every afternoon on march so that if an enemy attacked them, they are safe. And we have something similar in the American West with, circling the wagons. And the Boers in the Zulu War did the same thing with their wagons. They would lager, that was their word. They would lager an encampment to keep them safe. And this flood, this army, does the same thing. It reaches its encampment and it gets out the next morning and it marches through and nothing stops it. And the next day it's come a little farther. It's like watching floodwaters rise every day. That old Johnny Cash song, how high is the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising, and it's just going to keep on rising and rising and rising, and nothing will stop it. morning by morning it will pass over, and day by day. It will be a terror just to understand the report. It will be a terror just to know that the water is now 4 feet high and rising. They made deals, not with God, but with men, against God. The context here is very, very similar to Isaiah chapter 7, where God is promising to do something for Israel if they would put him to the test. And Ahaz won't have anything to do with it. He wants to deal with the Assyrians, not with Yahweh. And so God says he'll do something anyway. And there we have the promise of Emmanuel. Here, with the flooding coming in that's going to sweep them all away, we hear this glorious promise. And notice in verse 16 who the promise comes from. This is not the most common form of God's name, but to my mind, it's the most powerful. It is Adonai Yahweh. It is the Lord Yahweh. Stressing not just that he's the God of the covenant, there's Yahweh, but that he is their Lord. He's the sovereign one. And there's not a thing they can do about it. In his sovereignty, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Now notice something. Zion's not the stone. See that? Zion's not the stone. Jerusalem's not the stone. But in Zion, he lays the foundation stone. Who lays it? God does. He's the master mason. He is the one who does this laying. It is a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a piling up of phrases. Has anyone here ever laid block or brick or seen it done? I carried blocks and carried mortar while my father laid the block for their house they still live in. You start in the middle of the wall. You start at the corners. You get the corners right, and everything else more or less takes care of itself. And you get the corners strong, and the house will be strong. And here, this foundation has a precious cornerstone. It's also a tried stone. And what's interesting, of course, is what we read in Peter is Peter brings in Psalm 118, verse 22, where the stone that was rejected by men becomes the cornerstone. Oh, human beings don't want anything to do with this. Just like Ahaz didn't want to try Yahweh, he rejected Yahweh, but that's the stone that Yahweh himself has chosen. And it's a tried stone. It's tested. It's solid. They're building their house on, to use Jesus' story, they're building their houses on sand and have made a deal with a thunderstorm that it won't rain here. And of course, the floods come and wash away the foundation and their house. But that flood that's coming will break its waves against this building because it has a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And whoever believes is not acting hastily. You place your trust in this, and it's not a quick deal. It's not a stupid mistake. It's a smart thing. And then notice, these are terrible words in verse 17. They are comforting words, but they are terrible words. It's still the imagery of building something. I watched my dad. I still want a 4 foot or longer level. Not that I'll ever lay block, but I've had experience with my 2 footer. It's too short. Dad had this 4 foot or longer level, and he used the plumb lines and all the lines to do this stuff. He was taught by master masons at least how to lay block. And every block he put down, he put the level and he tapped the corners. He made sure everything was square and straight. It took longer, but he didn't have to pay somebody to do it. He did it himself. He made it sure. Well, listen to what God says. I'll make justice the measuring line, and righteous the plumb line. You've got the measuring line across. You've got the plumb line to tell you if the wall's straight. Is it straight this way? Is it straight vertically? And what are the standards for straightness? It's justice and righteousness. And that is a terrible thing to have happen to you when you have made a covenant with death and you are in agreement with hell. It's also a terrible thing for you and me if we have placed our trust in that precious cornerstone. We have placed our trust in that precious cornerstone. Something is demanded of us. Let's look at Peter as we close. 1 Peter chapter 2. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men. Peter's echoing Psalm 118 there. But chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. Do you see that? Who's the first living stone? Jesus Christ. And then all the rest of us are also living stones. And we're being built into a spiritual house. We're being built into the New Jerusalem. We are the temple of God. Peter also mixes his metaphors. We're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Okay, fine. But we're the stones. And we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're conformed to him. That's our reasonable or spiritual sacrifice or service. And that's why, and he quotes from our passage, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and him who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe it, he's precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But brothers and sisters, are we those living stones? Or are we also rejecting the cornerstone? We are to be being built in to the wall. And justice and righteousness are going to shape us. When you're building not with cinder block or brick, but with rock, you have to take the mason's hammer and square it off sometimes. You and I have got rough edges that need to be squared off so that righteousness and justice can lay us in the wall, square and straight. That's not fun, is it? But we are living stones to be like our living cornerstone. Is he precious to you? Do I really want to be like him? Or do we want to make a covenant with death? Let's bow our heads and hearts before our God. Father, these words are your word. Hear the word of Yahweh. And some 650 or 700 years before Christ, Isaiah preached the gospel. And Peter quotes it as the gospel to us again. Our Savior was rejected by men. He was despised. But he's precious. He is selected by God. He's tried and tested. And he's the cornerstone. Father, as that master mason, shape us into the right shape to fit in the wall of that living temple. For we are your temple. Make your home out of us and with us, that we may serve you, that we may love you. We thank you, Father, that you washed away our covenant with death and with Hades. Not with the flood of an Assyrian army, but with the flood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. Help us to keep this new covenant with you and with him. We ask these things of you in Christ's name. Amen.